Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is our epistle lesson written in Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 28, which we will reread in the English Standard Version. Let us rise. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he'd passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It's excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. These are God's words. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Sanctify us through your truth. Amen. Dear fellow heirs of the Reformation, fellow redeemed, our Savior, when he lived among us, warned of a great danger. He said in Matthew 7, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." The sad thing is that not everybody goes to heaven when they die. That's a reality. That's true. Jesus wants us to know that. The gate to eternal life is small, and the way to it is narrow. And it's made all the more difficult by those who teach falsely about where salvation is to be found. The way to hell, by contrast, is like a highway. Now, the heart and soul of the Christian faith is that narrow way. And it's to point out that narrow way, besides which there is no other, namely, Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. In our innocence that makes us acceptable to heaven, our justification, our righteousness before God is given to us by God through faith in him, through faith in Jesus. It doesn't make any difference where you're talking about in history, whether it's, you know, back at the dawn of time, or whether it's when Jesus was among us, or whether it was at the time of the Reformation, or whether it's today. In all times, finding the way to righteousness, finding the way to heaven, is the pivotal issue of every human life. I dare you to find anything more important than that. It is the pivotal issue of every human life. Oh, I know we're all excited about what goes on in the world. I'm sure that people are toe-to-toe over what's going to happen on Tuesday, and people are going to rise up in joy or fall down in defeat, depending on what way it goes. That doesn't hold a candle to the most pivotal issue of every human life. It's the issue of this whole cosmic struggle that is carried out in this world, the struggle for the souls of human beings. And what with our being born in sin, by nature objects of God's wrath, targets of every kind of false prophet in the world, how can anybody be saved? How can anyone find the truth in the midst of this noise of every human opinion about God? Well, it's by grace that any of us find the answer to this question, which way to righteousness, a righteousness that counts with God. Now, one thing that is in the world by God's gracious permission that reminds us of the seriousness of this issue is death. We can't read the papers. We can't think seriously about history without realizing there was a time when I wasn't here, and a lot of people who were there then aren't here now. It's pretty obvious the time's going to come when I'm not going to be walking this earth either. Where will I be? What will happen to me? Is there an answer? Or must we grope our way through life and death, wondering which way to righteousness, which way to heaven? Well, fortunately on our part, every Sunday we celebrate the way to heaven, the way to righteousness. And it's not because of anything that we are or anything that's special about us, but because of God's grace. And this Sunday especially, we celebrate the fact that the small gate and the narrow way to heaven was revealed again through God's servant Martin Luther, and has been revealed over and again through all of the saints who faithfully proclaimed his word before us. And that way has also been graciously preserved to us through our parents, not necessarily our physical parents, but our parents in the faith, who have preserved the good news of salvation to us so that we might know the answer to the question, which way to righteousness, which way to heaven. The way to hell is so broad because everything that glorifies man, that is to say, everything that gives me a charge, everything that seems to make me feel good, everything that my old sinful flesh would take hold of, leads there. Humanism, man is the measure of all things. Rationalism, there is nothing beyond this material universe. The false religions, and even the unfaithful churches that call themselves Christian, all lead there, down the highway. And only faith in Christ leads to heaven. And what's so counterintuitive, and this is an important part of the Reformation understanding, what's so counterintuitive is that the law cannot make us righteous for heaven. Now, we tend to think and we tend to live like the rules will do it. We try that all the time. I mean, let's face it, in the family, what do? Don't do that. Don't do that. Do this, do this. How many of us have given to our children the ability to be perfect by telling them to be so? And how often in government do we think, well, if we'll just pass the right law, people will do the right thing? Or how many point even to the perfect law of God and somehow expect that if we just get it right, properly understand it, say it in just the right way, we're going to make perfect people. That isn't the way that it is. Among the Jews of Jesus' day, also in the days of Paul, many gloried in the letter of the law. You know, they pointed to the commandments, actually, as testimony to their righteousness. They proclaimed that they were innocent of adultery, for example. They didn't cheat on any of the wives they divorced. Or they were innocent of robbery because they didn't have to rob the way they connived to get what they wanted other ways. Nor were they guilty of murder. They'd never killed any object of their hatred. And so it is that many today are quite conversant with religion and yet able to justify the most terrible things. Even churches calling themselves Christian, calling themselves Lutheran, have through time, not just in our day and age, but throughout time, have approved the most terrible things while claiming the moral high ground. But such glorying in the law, such glorying in some words that'll make me feel good about myself, finally have to lead to shame before God's perfect law. Now, we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world held accountable to God. You kind of get the picture of a youngster who's been trying to fib his way to innocence, fib and lie his way out of trouble, finally just plain being caught and having to shut his mouth. And so we have to stand in silent shame when the law of God exposes our petty anger, our selfishness, our greed, the evil desires of our hearts. The law can't make us righteous. The law can only reveal our sin. Rather than being a highway to heaven, God's law surely takes us to hell if we seek to gain heaven by keeping it. If we say, "Go ahead, God, judge me according to your law," well, no one will be declared righteous in his sight, Paul writes, by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. Now, this glorying in the letter of the law doesn't always show in people claiming to be perfect or righteous. You know, we tend to think, well, I don't think that my innocence comes from the fact that I'm perfect. I mean, who could say that with a straight face? Really. But we nevertheless show our glorying in the letter of the law when we live in continual censure of other people. And I'm not talking about parents correcting their children. Yeah, they need to do that. Those in authority, yeah, over whom they have responsibility, yeah, I'm going to say do this, don't do that. But I'm talking about when we just can't be comfortable around those people that we know are such sinners, that we know have just done so much wrong, or at least that we imagine to do. It's when we nurture being offended by others that we forget that the law with which we massage our grudges by finding fault with the other person, that law condemns us as well. By the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. Even though it might make us feel better, might make us righteous feeling because we find fault with others, by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. And so what about the way of our own righteousness? It's a dead end. Although it would be glory to us, and although it stands so broad before us, the way of righteousness is really a highway to that dead end of hell. The way of righteousness, the way to be acceptable to God, is not that way. Rather, the righteousness that counts before God isn't, to begin with, our righteousness at all. It's righteousness that comes from somebody else. Yeah, the law condemns me and you, but we have a righteousness, nevertheless, a righteousness that comes from someone else. The righteousness of Jesus Christ, whose righteousness becomes ours by faith alone. But now a righteousness from God, Paul says, a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. That is your righteousness. And it's not something that everybody has, because not everybody has faith in Christ. But it isn't a narrow gate, and it isn't a difficult way to heaven because God has hidden it, but because our sinful nature so often doesn't accept it. It's the way of the cross of Christ. Who wants that? It calls us to put our faith in the one who died our death for us. Where is our glory in that? Now, the only glory that we see in this righteousness is the glory of Christ and the depth of love that moved him to die for us. So, as I said, it's not a way that God has hidden. It's the darkness of the human heart that makes it difficult to find. As he says in 1 Corinthians 1, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles." Nevertheless, this righteousness has been proclaimed from the very beginning. It's what was proclaimed to Adam and Eve and to Noah. And Abraham believed God, and God counted his faith to him as righteousness. And Habakkuk said, "But the righteous will live by his faith." And Paul says it clearly in our text, the law and the prophets bear witness to this righteousness that comes from Jesus. And the righteousness is his righteousness altogether. Now, sometimes people like to claim, "But I found the gate. I found the narrow way. I took hold of Jesus." You know, in that desperate attempt to claim some glory for salvation, they try to make faith some sort of good work by which we deserve Christ. We deserve forgiveness. Now, when we look at someone who does not have this faith, we don't say, "Oh, well, therefore I am better." We can only say, "There, but for the grace of God, go I." It's kind of like a parachute. Somebody jumps out of an airplane and, in a timely way, pulls the ripcord, floats gently down to the ground. And would he say to you, "You see my attitude, how it brought me safely to earth"? No, it was the parachute. Faith is not itself, in itself, what saves. It's Christ who saves. Faith takes hold of Christ. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Even our faith isn't something that earns God's favor. We're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. He did it so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. There's no righteousness by the law. God justly condemns all of us. How can God be just? How can he be fair and forgive you? Do you deserve it? How can he be just and forgive me? Do I deserve it? The only reason he can be just and forgive us is because his justice was satisfied by the redeeming work of Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus said, the way to hell is wide, the way to heaven is narrow. And do you ever worry about which one you're on? We're all sons of Adam and daughters of Eve, and we all like to seek our own glory. And so consequently, when we depend totally upon someone else, it makes us nervous. If it isn't up to me, oh man, I could be worried. We might doubt that we have heaven purely because of what somebody else has done. We rise up against Paul's conclusion when he says, we maintain that a man is justified by faith from observing the law. Does that mean I don't have to keep the commandments in order to get to heaven? Well, that's what it just said. Must be some catch. You mean that because Christ died my death for me, my eternal death, because he went to hell for me on the cross, I don't have to go to hell myself? Well, what conditions must I meet? And to illustrate how reluctant we are to simply accept this salvation, let me ask a question, and I know I've asked it before. Knowing what God knows about you, what does he think about you as a Christian? What does he think about you as a mom, as a dad, as a husband, as a wife, as a son, as a daughter? Does he approve of your life as a church member, as a citizen? Do you have his approval? Yes. That's what justified means. It means declared righteous. It means declared innocent. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. And in Romans 10, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. The law is no longer the basis of your righteousness. It's Christ who is the basis of your righteousness. This is the narrow way. And it gives glory to God alone. It's the way that offends our human desires for self-righteousness. It's the way that the devil and the world and our sinful flesh cry out against, and yet it is the only way to heaven. Justification by grace through faith. This is the heart of the Christian faith, people. It isn't preached just everywhere or anywhere. It's a rare thing. It survives in spite of our love of glory. It survives in spite of the false teachers that there are in the world. It survives in spite of our own self-righteousness. It survives only because of the grace of God and Jesus, who said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never pass away. The only way to heaven, it is the precious truth. It's a truth for which many gave their lives. It's a truth that enabled Luther to stand before princes and kings and emperors at risk of his own life. It's the truth that gives peace to troubled hearts. Yeah, we may have doubts at times. We may wonder. We may look at death in the world and say, is there a way to righteousness? Well, I can assure you there is. You, dear ones, have been forgiven. God has done what must be done. Hell has been suffered. Righteousness has been achieved. And it's been given to you. And so we cherish this truth. We value it. We sacrifice to preserve it. We pass it on to our posterity. We so cling to this truth that it will never be taken from us or from our children or from our church. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.